Welcome to the Fair Parenting Podcast, where we cover people's stories, ideas, and the progress towards fair parenting.
Today, I want to talk about a book that's helped me. We often talk about books on the podcast because I think they're important. Books about adversity help us to cope with what so many of us are going through in the family court. And I want to discuss a book today called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Many of you probably know this book. If you don't, I'd recommend reading it. First thing to say is that when it's the title, Man's Search for Meaning, obviously it was written many decades ago. And in modern context, it applies equally to men and women. In the title, it's man as in mankind, humankind. So it can equally help men and women. The story's about World War II concentration camps. And I'd wanted for a long time to talk about the book on this podcast with an expert, similar to how I did with the movie episodes Interstellar and Inception, where we had a movie expert, Derek McDuff, and that worked really well because he added so many insights and knowledge about the films. If you haven't heard those episodes, I recommend them. We talk about Inception and Interstellar, but a lot more films, music, and lots of other stuff besides. And Derek was a great guest, so I really recommend those episodes. I've not been able to find somebody who's an expert on this book, Man's Search for Meaning. But if you know anyone, let me know and we'll revisit it with them. I think one of the ways of coping with trauma that we get from abuse and alienation and the family court is by exploring stories of adversity. Those examples of other people coping can help us. I talk about Ray Dalio a lot, and one of his sayings is that there are no new stories, there are no new problems. I've talked about this before. One of the things about being abused is you can feel alone and you can think that you're the only one going through this. But you're not. And one of the great things about books and podcasts, etc., is it enables you to see other people that have been through this, how they coped, what they did, and also it can leave you feeling not so alone. It's very helpful, and that's one of the values of podcasting and books, and why perhaps you should get your story out there if you feel able, because it may help other people. But examples of coping with adversity don't get much more difficult than, of course, concentration camps in World War II, which is where Viktor Frankl's book is set. The book helped me so much. I heard about it many years ago from Tony Robbins, who I'm a fan of. But at the time, I didn't have the... My abuse started when I became a parent, and I heard Tony talk about this many years before I was a parent, this book. So when I heard him talk about it, I didn't have a big enough reason to go and search it out. Obviously, years later, I did, when I became abused, and I remembered the book and found it. Until recently, I was remembering that time, and I thought that I'd read about it further on into my journey of abuse, but I found some notes the other day that I made while reading the book. That were from January 2019. Now, my abuse started in autumn of 2018, but I was stopped from seeing my child from October 2018. So it was just a couple of months into that journey, and it was while or around the time of the first court date or just prior to it. It took about 3 months to get that first court date. And obviously I suffered a great deal. And by the way, when I say read the book, I found it on YouTube. There's an audio version on YouTube. And so audiobooks I'm a big fan of. And so I often say, when I say read a book, I quite often mean listen to a book. So I was listening to this around the time of the first court hearing forced allocations had just started, that a C1A form had been filed, that I'd been abusive. Obviously, subsequently, not one shred of evidence, not one piece or shred of evidence was presented either then or for the next 5 years. Many allegations made, some flimsy attempts at evidence was presented, which court said found no grounds for, no reality in, and my abuser was found to have been using false and malicious allegations, but they went on and on and on. But anyway, that's for another day. This was at the start. Little did I know what I was in store for in the next few years. But they false allegations hurt and damage, and they damaged me. And I was in turmoil because they were being used as justification for me stopping, for me not being allowed to see my child. And I'm sure this is familiar to a lot of people. But in the first few months, I couldn't believe that this went on in Britain, and or was allowed to. And I was just in a state of shock and despair. Once you're in the family court for a few years, you realise just how bad it is. But in these early days, I didn't. I still hoped that somebody would see the obvious and do something very early on. But as again, that's for another day. And as we know, the family court is not what anyone who's not an abuser would want it to be. Anyone who's suffering or being abused, the family court is not what it should be. Even to those that get good outcomes, it's probably with a great deal of suffering and possibly many months or years of effort. Anyway, that's for another day. I was suffering a great deal in early 2019, and that gave me reason to seek out the book. I used to wake in the middle of the night. I wasn't seeing my child. My baby was less than 6 months old when I read the book. I was stopped from seeing my child when they were 2 months old. I didn't see them again until they were 6.5 months old. And it was at around this time that I read the book and revisited it. And it wasn't just one read. I came back to it. It just seems incredible that, you know, so 4.5 months of a 6.5 month old baby, I didn't see my child. It seems incredible. As I said in episode 2 on reform, that should be a criminal offence to withhold contact of a child for no good reason. It's as simple as that, isn't it? That it's not enables people to do it. Anyway, I was in the middle of this period. I was working at the time, trying to hold down a job, trying to sleep at night. I used to wake in the middle of the night, hearing a child cry, my baby cry, but obviously there was nobody there. I didn't know if my baby was crying, how my baby was. I wasn't told anything, really. Social worker said that they called up, my baby was crying but sounded okay, and I was told that the health visitor said she was okay, and that's it for 4.5 months. Where's the humanity in that? But anyway, I mean, another thing, I don't want to go too much into my own story, but a lot of this probably will resonate with some of you. You know, around that time, I would go into supermarket just to do my daily shop or whatever, weekly shop, and you would see children there, happy children. I would see an aisle with nappies on it and milk bottles, etc. And I couldn't go down those aisles. I didn't have cause to, but I had to sort of steer away and not look. It caused me trauma. it was very difficult. The not sleeping, the waking, and of course, I'd often wake at the classic time of night, 3 a.m., and then not be able to get back to sleep. And that was when, and we're talking about weeks and months. There was no urgency. Nobody seemed to care. And 5 years on, there's little evidence of anyone in the system really caring, even with a gigantic amount of evidence and findings from the court. I used to, when I couldn't sleep, I used to listen to this and other things, all sorts of self-development, YouTube clips and stories of adversity, etc. I found the book on an audio form in YouTube, as I say, and I'm not going to go into the book much more than that. I've covered where I was in my journey and how it helped me, and a brief idea of what it's about. But it basically examines different outcomes in concentration camps. Some people survived, some didn't. And the book examines possible reasons why. And it's to do with meaning. Some people had children they wanted to survive for. Others had things they needed to do after the war. Part of it is about having a reason to touch the future, to get to the future. And some didn't have that. I'm not going to try, as I said, I'm not going to try and summarize the book for you. I'm just going to recommend it because I can't do it justice. It's something that you kind of have to read yourself. It's about a 4-hour audio book, so it's not that long, and I would just recommend it to anyone who's going, well, anyone, but particularly people who are going through hell in the family courts. God help anyone who's going through what I went through, and I'm still going through. Of course, some have it much, much worse. God help us all. And I'm not saying God in an overtly religious sense, but you know, whatever God may be to you, or whatever faith you are, or whatever there is in the universe that can help, I hope it delivers us from the hell that is the family court system. I'm going to be criticised possibly for this next part. When I say going through the hell of the family court, I hesitate about possibly using the word evil. And when I talk about abuse from an alienating or abusive parent, I hesitate to describe that as evil. One of the reasons is, of course, a nasty solicitor will attack you and tear you to shreds in a court if you've used the word evil. But also because I've struggled with it, that what is evil? The nature of evil. And it goes into a philosophical possible rabbit hole that is not productive. But just to riff on it for a little bit, there's a quote of Einstein's, paraphrasing it, I think. Basically, he says, "The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything." And I think that's a really powerful quote. I mean, certainly we see in the family court people who can see what you may describe as evil and do nothing, and that certainly does make cases worse. But is Einstein right? I think he is. But the question I'm wrestling with is, what do you define as evil? I'm not talking about it in the biblical sense. I think you can see evil in a practical sense, in terms of, say, for example, unbridled malice. The wish to do harm to people who have done nothing wrong, the wish to alienate a child, the act of seeing somebody doing that and doing nothing, or even helping them by being a lawyer for them, or a CAFCAS officer who sees all of that and then backs them, or many other examples we could name from the family courts. Some people in court who will help an abuser alienate a child, this to me is not biblical evil, it's human evil. It's not human good, is it? It's wanting to cause harm. Now, whatever agenda or vested interest there may be, that's not an excuse. I've seen enough to know in my heart that many people in the family court know what they are doing, and yet they still do it for their purposes. In the case of lawyers, it's for money. People, parents, good parents can die in these cases. Good parents can end up with critical illnesses or trauma for life. But still, nasty lawyers do what they do. And in my view, that's evil. And in my view, Einstein is right. That's all I've really got to say on that. As I say, I'll be criticised for it. But it's something I've thought about for a while, and I just wanted to get it out there. Let me know if you agree with that. Interestingly, Einstein seems to have been alienated from his child. He talks about being alienated at the time, decades ago, obviously. And so this shows how ingrained these behaviours are, that some parents can do this to others. Anyway, back to Man's Search for Meaning. All I can say, again, I'm not going to talk in depth about it. I can't do it justice. But what I can say is it helped me. It's helped others. And I would just say, if you're going through hell, tough times, whatever, please find it. It's on YouTube. It's in bookshops. I think there's a good chance it will help you on some level. Okay, that's it for now. It's just a short episode. As Winston Churchill said, if you're going through hell, keep going. What's being done to many of us in the family courts is, as I say, I think, a form of evil. Nobody should have to go through it. And I believe that it will change. Change is coming. I think in the near future, change is coming. It's coming in parts of the world, certain parts of the world, certain countries. Are still in the dark ages, but I think it will change for many and soon. Whether it will be soon enough for us, I don't know. I don't think it will be soon enough for me, but I hope it's soon enough for you. Okay, that's it. That's all for now. Keep going. Please look after yourself. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please join us next time.